HX test mobile, I think.
KO4HX.
Patrick, how are you today?
Full day. How about yourself?
I'm doing the same. Oh, the other difference is I'm working, as you are. Yeah, I got two customers to go see, possibly a third, if I can get to them. Got a little mileage between customers today, so I may have to put them off to tomorrow, but otherwise good. All is good.
I'm part of that wrong. Everybody tells me all I do is ride around and collect money. I don't work at all.
I was trying to be nice. I was just trying to be nice.
When did you start that?
My ways, I don't know, you know. I can't keep it up anymore. You don't work, you just drive around and keep that seat warm.
I will.
We used to call the truck drivers commercial tourists.
See that. But Dave, you be good out there today. I'm pulling into my next stop, so I'm about to say 7-3 so I can get backed in here. You be careful out there today while you're out there doing that four-letter word. KO4HX, clear.
As one of our mutual friends would say, I'm being a dirty, rotten capitalist. All right, 73, Patrick. KO4HKX. KB2HX has mobile for just a few more minutes.
Best W4DJW. You used to call truck drivers of what?
Commercial tourists.
Tourists, as in touring?
Yeah, because that's what I used to do. When you're driving, you know, coast to coast, or, you know, you're driving other people's stuff on the truck, you're a tourist. You're being paid to drive around and look at things.
I used to work inside a shop 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and I think about truck drivers being out there in the beautiful sunshine with the green grass and the blue sky, and I was envious of their job.
I tell you what I did, I was a mover. I worked for a major moving company, and I tell you what, it was a good job. I enjoyed it. When you're hauling freight, it's a little bit different because you got a little bit more of a tighter time schedule. But when you're when you're moving people's furniture, you can kind of make your own schedule a little bit. You know, you have delivery spreads. It's not a delivery day and time.
To go later on, before I quit Michelin, I used to get to travel back and forth between Greenville and Spartanburg. It wasn't often, maybe a dozen days a year, but I really liked those days. Leave work and go out on the road and travel to another city while you're getting paid. That was, like, fantastic.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, and again, you know, when you're your own person, like, I was an owner-operator, so I could kind of control what I do and, you know, how I did it. And the more cost-effective I would run my truck, you know, not staying in all the hotels everybody stays in, but, you know, kind of staying in the truck and managing myself, as it were.
I thought becoming a truck driver one time, but it was close. Trucks are expensive, and how much you could make on each haul, so it was a lot, but so was the cost of the truck and the insurance and the parts for maintenance and all of that stuff, the tires, ooh. It was too close for me to do the cutover.
Years ago it was pretty good, you know, being an owner-operator, because you can bust a move and get it done. But nowadays, man, all the electronic devices they have in the truck, you can't get away with today like you could, you know, probably 10, 20 years ago. You know, and I'm not going to get into all the stuff I used to do, but you can imagine, you know, running two logbooks and whatnot. And, you know, get the mileage under your belt. But, you can't get away with what you used to be able to get away with.
Back then, I used to drive for overnight, and he showed me the graph. There's this little round, this little wheel, a disc of paper. It's a graph on a circular disc. And the speed of the truck, the two needles, and it would leave a line on that circular graph, and whenever they would leave, they'd put a new graph on it, and then when they'd get back, they'd turn their graph in, and his would go up to 60 miles an hour and stop. Never went above 60 miles an hour, and I asked him about that, and he said, toothpicks work really good for that. You know what he was talking about?
Oh yeah. No, I get it. Trust me, there's a lot of little tricks. Trust me, there's a lot of little tricks to do.
70s and the 80s, I guess they're a little more foolproof now than they used to be back then. Of course, it may have been an intentional design flaw as well. Who knows?
Yeah, well, nowadays it's all electronic. You can't mess with anything. You know, it's just between the Qualcomms, they can track you, and you know, it's just there's a lot more. It's very, very restricted. You can't do much.
I often wonder about if leasing, you know, there was no such thing as leasing equipment back then, but if you wanted to do your own, I often wondered if leasing was attractive enough to do that instead of having to pay for your own overhauls and your own tires and, you know, lease a truck, do a haul, lease a truck, do another haul, that kind of stuff.
That part of the business I didn't really get into. I was an owner operator. I bought a truck from Kenmore. The key was in my industry, in the moving industry, you didn't really want to buy a truck from an agent because then you're kind of tied to the agent. You know, if you wanted to move on to a different agent, you can take you and your truck with you. You know, instead of having to buy it out. But no, I never really got involved in leases. You know, because there's a lot of restrictions with that, too. You can't go so many miles a week, and you got to do this. No.
One of the, you know, when I was in software, one of the really strong attractors was vendor software. Vendors could do it. Just buy the software and do it. You don't have to write the code. But same principle you're talking about, vendor lock-in. Then you can do what they can do and only what they can do, and all your competitors are buying that. That's all they can do. You can't get in it's hard to get a competitive advantage when you get into vendor lock-in. W4DJW.
Yes. And I think I just missed my driveway. This is a tough one to find. Let me get back with you a little bit later, Dave. I gotta turn around here and get up in this gentleman's driveway. It's a little setback off the road here. I will catch you later, W4DJW KB2HXS.
All right, Dave. Have a good day. Good talking to you. KB2HXS, W4DJW Mobile.
Same here. Have a good day. 73, KB2HXS, clear.
DJW,
W4JET,
Mobile.
W4JET, W4DJW. Well, good morning, and I made it on Monday to pick up my wife at the GSP, and I figured out the new traffic pattern. Thanks for your input.
You have it open all the way through. I know the last I was there, it was closed halfway through, and they were still kind of convoluted on the exit. But do they have it opened up through the front of the terminal now?
No, it's still not open over there. What you have to do is go twice as far down toward the private. I used to fly out of Stevens Beach, the private airport down there, and you have to go like the same distance you had to go before, again, further past the terminals. You instead of turning in where you normally turn in, if you're coming from 101 or from 85, you go past that point of turning because that's now your exit. So you go, you're going to be coming out the end, and you're going to go in a new end that's way down past the other side, and all of the foot traffic is going to be way further north, you know, twice again north, further than it was, and they won't let you stop to pick up a passenger. What you have to do is make a drive-through really slow, and if your passenger isn't there yet, you have to go around the circle again, and you have to make another really slow drive-through. Instead of doing drive-through, I went all the way to the top, up there to the private airport where Stevens Beach used to be. And I just parked and talked to her on the phone until she got off of the airplane and got her luggage. And then I went down there and started making my circles. But it works out. You're absolutely right, too. It's going to be a lot nicer in the end. W4DJW.
Growing pains, I guess that's going to happen. I'm glad you got it worked out. And, yeah, they have that cell phone lot, too, on the it's not the, where you come in from 85, but it's where you come in from the QT and the Burger King on the other side. I forget what that road, the number of that road is. But it'll be better when it's all said and done.
And when I came back from the private airport, private section, I don't know what they call that now. It used to be Stevens Beach. That's where I learned how to fly. It is going down over there, and I flew a Beechcraft Skipper. That's been a long time ago. Anyway, I am at home, and it's time to get out and start evaluating my yard work that I have to do for the day. I got three stacks of mulch that have to get out, but I've got to condition the yard and get it ready for the mulch before I put it out. So it's going to be a long day in the sun. Anyway, I hope you have a good day. Good talking to you. WW4JET, W4DJW.
You do the same, Dave. Hey, real quick question. Did they get that snafu worked out with the repeater? Was it a hardware failure, or what was the issue with the transmit squeal?
Yesterday
morning it started, I think.
Yeah, I think that was intentional RFI, radio frequency interference. I think it was intentional, man-made. Because it kept moving around. We have the ability with Doppler to see where all signals are generated that are going in the input of this repeater that we're on right now. And we could see it would move from one of the reasons he would hold it up for so long, he wasn't afraid because he knew he wasn't going to be in the same place later that he was when we found him. So we started tracking him, and we followed him throughout all of his movements. So we know his patterns now. And that's not. We have another person that does something similar to that, but it's a whole lot more graphic. It's bad. And he's the reason we built the Doppler system. This person is just going to be a person that we use the Doppler system to be able to track. It makes these kinds of interference situations a whole lot easier to find. But, yeah, it was intentional human RFI.
All right. Well, that person has cool intentions, it sounds like, because he's up at 5:30 in the morning. But, well, good. I'm glad you're onto it, and I just wanted to offer some help if you needed it. But, all right, have a good afternoon, and good luck with the yard work. I know I'm on a handheld, so I'm probably getting in a scratchy area. Anyway, 73, have a good day, WW4JET. We're clear.
All right, good talking to you. You have a good day, too. WW4JET, W4DJW, clear.
WETKX4NT. JET KX4NT.